Welcome to the podcast. My name is Scott, and I am part of the Sia Jail Outreach digital team. So, today, we are tackling a heavy subject, but we are going to find the strength in it. We are talking about The Men of the Foundation Presents, The Field Manual for Manhood, and the Mindset of I Do It Anyway. Many men feel like they are drifting, waiting for motivation to strike. But the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Today, we're setting out on a journey to discover how men can rise above drifting, break through to new horizons, and lay a firm foundation for themselves and their families, anchored on a solid rock. After listening to this podcast, many of the men here at the office shared how deeply it moved them. It challenged, inspired, and encouraged us to become better men. So let's dive in and grow together. When our CEO first brought this vision to life, it was created for men who are navigating the challenges of life in and out of the jail system. Yet, as we launched this journey, we quickly realized its impact could go far beyond our original plans. We saw that every man, regardless of his story, can benefit from the encouragement, community, and growth we're building here. This movement isn't just for a few. It's for every man who is striving to become better, who wants to build a stronger foundation for himself and those he loves. So wherever you are today, know that this journey is for you too. Let's rise together and find purpose, fulfillment, and brotherhood as we grow side by side. We have a saying here, before I turn it over to Trinity and Steve, we don't say goodbye. We say, until the trumpet blows. In the meantime, let's push forward until he comes. God bless you.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're so glad you're joining us today for what is going to be a really focused journey into, well, into building a life of intentionality, strength, and persistence.
Exactly. And this isn't just theory. We're going deep into the practical side of construction. And we're calling this whole exploration, the growth journey, a deep dive podcast.
And we are your guides for this. We're going to be taking a very serious look at a powerful memoir called The Field Manual for Manhood,
which was written by David Averett. He's the CEO and founder of CA Jail Outreach Nationwide.
Now, this deep dive, it really has a dual purpose. I mean, we all know Mr. Averett has immense responsibilities. He's leading a national organization that's all about HERP and second chances.
Precisely. And by producing the core lessons of this memoir in an audio format like this, it actually allows the CEO more time, more bandwidth to focus on the really essential on-the-ground work of CA Jail Outreach.
So it's a way to get his wisdom out there while he's focused on the mission.
Right. It's efficient. He can share these hard-earned lessons globally while his personal time is still dedicated to those crucial initiatives.
And we should say, we are just so proud to be part of the CA Jail Outreach digital community team and to be facilitating this whole analysis.
Mm-hmm. And the mission, really the heart of the organization, is about providing hope. It's about tangible support for inmates and their families during what are often, the most difficult times of their lives.
And you can really feel that Averett's motivation is intensely personal. It's rooted in this really profound heart for people.
Especially for those impacted by the justice system. And we always want to take a moment here to keep the children in our thoughts and prayers. The trauma, the absence they go through when a loved one is incarcerated, it's through absolutely no fault of their own.
None. They are the ones this organization really strives to support and, you know, offer a positive future to.
Okay, so let's frame the background of the memoirist himself, David Averett. His life is really the foundation for this manual.
Right. He calls it solid wisdom. And this is an academic wisdom. It's proven in crisis. We're talking about 22 years of service as a combat veteran.
And here's a crucial clarification we need to make. He was a military leader, not a military chaplain.
Right, though he is currently a chaplain in the jail system, so he's merging those two worlds now.
And that combination is so telling. You get the product of this rigorous military leadership training. He was in the Advanced Strategist Program. But it's combined with a really strong foundation from Bible college.
And over 3 decades of marriage experience with both incredible triumph and just profound loss.
So this is not abstract advice. It's strategy distilled from a 53-year life journey. And he applies those hard-won lessons directly to his role as CEO and founder, guiding people from brokenness toward hope.
For me, the power is in how he approaches these huge questions. Faith, family, strategy. They're not just concepts to debate.
No, they're objectives.
Yes, objectives to be achieved through disciplined execution. And that's what this memoir outlines, starting with a really powerful call to seriousness.
He goes straight to the foundation. As he notes in the memoir, the current state of things, it just doesn't allow for, you know, leisurely philosophizing.
Okay, so let's get into section one, the foundation and the boss's standing orders.
So the memoir opens with this special note from David Averitt, the CEO and founder, and he immediately sets the stage. He challenges this modern idea that manhood is just a suggestion.
Not a fixed standard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He argues this book, the Field Manual, was created specifically to eliminate all the fluff and get straight to the non-negotiable foundations for a meaningful life.
Okay, let's unpack that. Why does he feel that need to move from suggestion to standard? It sounds like he's reacting to a world where identity is fluid, but he's demanding something permanent.
That's a deep observation. I think he sees that lack of definition as the root of the chaos. If the goalposts are always moving, you can't build anything solid.
Right, you can't.
So that's why he lays out what he calls the standing orders. Three core non-negotiable elements for the job site of your life.
The first one is the master plan. This immediately strikes me as his military strategy brain at work. You just don't launch an operation without a blueprint.
Exactly. Mr. Averitt argues the number one cause of failure is operating without specifications. Men are, you know, improvising their lives, especially in marriage, fatherhood, faith.
Just guesswork.
Total guesswork. Hoping these haphazard choices will somehow hold together. The master plan is the absolute rejection of that.
He makes the point that manhood is not an accident. He's telling you to stop relying on instinct or what's trending and instead look back to the original timeless design from the architect.
And this memoir, in his view, is the functional manual for executing that ancient blueprint. It's about eliminating that margin of error that comes from just winging it.
Okay, so you have the plan. What's the second core element?
A second, and you could argue it's the functional engine of the whole manual, is the grit. The master plan gives you direction, but grit provides the horsepower.
How does he define it?
He defines it as the crucial separation between your fluctuating feelings, which are totally unreliable, and your remaining duty, which is fixed. It is the internal engine of persistence.
This is where that combat veteran background just comes shining through. His view on struggle is, it's completely uncompromising. Tired, scared, good.
Right. Those feelings aren't a sign to stop. They're confirmation that you're hitting resistance, which means you're actually doing something important.
And the commitment is boiled down to four simple words. I do it anyway. It's just an immediate override.
It is. He flips the script. He argues that feelings are unreliable narrators. They lie. But work is objective. It speaks volumes. And grit is the mechanism that ensures your body and your emotions submit to the will of the builder.
So you have the plan. You have the engine. But before you can even start building, there's this third element, the broken ground. Why start with destruction?
Because you have to deal with the existing debris first. This includes past failures, hidden sins, and what he calls the dry rot of apathy.
This point feels absolutely critical for the community CA Jail Outreach serves. You can't build a future on a shaky old structure.
You can't. The man seeking transformation, whether it's from a cycle of failure or just apathy, he has to embrace transparency.
Mm.
He insists the goal isn't a quick fix, not a superficial patch.
But a true tearing down.
A true tearing down to rebuild correctly. This process of breaking up the old life is essential preparation.
You know, we have to pause on this idea of broken ground and connect it directly to the organization's mission. For someone coming out of the justice system or for their family starting over, the ground is broken. There are legal hurdles, reputational damage, financial debris.
That's a vital connection. The process of spiritual reconstruction mirrors the process of societal reintegration. It's about radical honesty, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where'd the failure occur? And the boss wraps up that note with a powerful, immediate directive. He signals that the time for talk is over.
He does. He closes with, the whistle has blown and the tools are ready. Let's get to work. It's the ultimate call to action. Demands you engage immediately.
And this urgency, it's rooted in his analysis of the modern state of manhood. He tracks a definite historical decline. He says two generations ago, men were largely confident in their roles, their identity.
Then one generation ago, that confidence started to wear away. Men began compromising.
And today, his assessment is stark. Men are fundamentally confused. They're drifting without an anchor.
And it's interesting. He doesn't just attribute this to external cultural forces. It's an internal lack of vision. When a man doesn't have a clear purpose, he's just going to bounce between whatever definitions society offers him.
And the practical remedy he offers, it all hinges on community. He believes men need a clear articulation of their role, and they need an authentic community to sustain it. He says most men are only one community away from an actual life change.
That's a powerful statement.
It is. It emphasizes the power of godly men sharpening each other.
Which sets the stage perfectly for the site safety rules. 6 non-negotiable standing orders for this construction site of your life.
Right. And rule number 1 is stay in the house. Always stay and grow in church. This is about structural accountability. It's first because you cannot succeed in isolation.
The man who tries to build alone is susceptible to everything.
Every lie, every distraction. So rule number 2 reinforces that. Find your crew. Averitt insists this means taking out godly men in the church. It's the practical application of iron sharpens iron.
If your closest circle is compromising, you will too.
Exactly. Rule number 3 introduces the internal fuel. The altar is essential. Pray alone as much as possible. The boss stresses this is where the real heavy lifting happens.
The internal work.
Yes. The internal work that supports the entire external build. You can't lift the external weight without strengthening your core.
And rule number 4 is the guidance system, the blueprint.
Yep.
Always read the Bible. It's the only set of plans that, you know, hasn't been revised or recalled.
Which gives you stability. And rule number 5 is the recurring investment. Show up. Always attend men's retreats or meetings. This connects back to rule 2. You need that focused fellowship because daily life erodes your resolve.
And finally, rule number 6, the constant power supply. Have grit. And this brings us right back around. The work is hard, it's painful, it's often thankless.
So persistence is non-negotiable. You simply do not quit. These 6 rules, they create this self-sustaining ecosystem of discipline.
So in Averitt's framework, construction doesn't even start until the commitment is formalized. This is the weight of taking an oath. He introduces this code of conduct, a specific oath that you, the listener, are asked to take in your heart.
And the seriousness of this step, it really reflects his military background. You seal your commitment with an oath. The man first acknowledges self-awareness and responsibility. Your life is a building under construction, and you are solely responsible for its quality.
This goes so far beyond just saying, I want to be a good man. It's a formal pledge that directly addresses those cultural failures he mentioned. You pledge to reject passivity, which is sort of the default setting of modern life.
And you choose discipline, which he sees as the prerequisite for having a life and a legacy that lasts.
The pledges are really specific, too. It's holistic. You commit to reinforcing your physical frame, your body, so you can serve God and family with strength. You commit to anchoring your soul in the Word.
And crucially, you pledge to use your hands to build and not destroy, to clear your vision of temptation, and to plan your steps intentionally.
That idea of leaving a legacy is paramount here. He states, I will not leave my legacy to chance. And the final pledge is the core submission of this whole manual. I will follow the design of the master builder.
And that's the moment. The moment the laborer agrees to follow the architect's specs, not his own. It's anchored in scripture, too. Averitt cites Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it.
Which isn't just a spiritual idea, it's a strategic one. If you fail to align your efforts with the ultimate power source, all your hard work is just wasted.
It is. And Chaplain David distills the consequence of this commitment into a really powerful forward-looking quote. He says, a man who commits to the build is a man who secures the future.
Wow. So the act of commitment becomes a safeguard for the next generation.
And once that internal pledge, the oath, is made, the focus shifts to the external standard. Now we move to the Builder's Creed. This is the 4-point declaration that defines the man under construction.
The first declaration focuses on the stability of the foundation. My foundation is the rock. This is just an outright rejection of shifting sans cultural trends, emotional instability, popular opinion.
Right. It's an insistence that your life has to be built on Christ and his truth, because that's the only thing that's unmovable. The second declaration outlines the standard. My standard is the Word.
Back to that core principle, no guesswork.
No guesswork. The instructions are in Scripture, so the commitment is to follow them. It provides objective truth in a subjective world.
And the third point addresses readiness. My tools are ready. This is a practical commitment. It's not enough just to have the tools.
They have to be maintained. Body strong, mind sharp, spirit humble. That preparation ensures that when the call comes, you are physically, mentally, and spiritually fit for the job.
The fourth declaration defines focus. My vision is clear. The man pledges to turn his eyes away from worthless, distracting things, the media, temptations, cynicism. Without a clear vision, even the strongest builder will just drift off course.
Mm-hmm. And following those four statements, he provides this concise statement of purpose for the man who's taken the oath. He says, I am a builder. I repair the broken places. I strengthen the weak walls. I raise up a standard for my family.
It's all about proactive leadership.
It is. And the section culminates in the acceptance of this new identity, which is the initiation into the work itself. I am manhood constructed. Welcome to the site.
Okay, that signifies the end of planning and the beginning of the actual difficult labor. And now we are getting deep into the source material. We're entering part one on the mindset and focusing on that essential engine, grit.
And Averitt is crystal clear here. Without this engine, all the plans, all the oaths, the creeds, they're useless. Men will inevitably fail their duties if they can't sustain persistence.
His definition of grit is so important. It's the refusal to quit when the excitement fades. I mean, the problem with so much self-help is that it relies on that fleeting, high-octane motivation.
Right. Grit recognizes that the initial surge of enthusiasm for any new project, a diet, a commitment, a spiritual discipline, it's always temporary.
And this is where it gets really interesting, where he completely flips traditional thinking on its head. Most people, you know, they wait for motivation to show up before they start working.
But he says motivation follows action, not the other way around. You push the work first, and the feeling that comes after accomplishment, momentum, even just relief, that's what fuels the next step.
Action creates motivation.
Yes. And we've been talking about this a lot as we prepared this deep dive. The reason it's so powerful is that it takes emotion completely out of the equation. If you wait for the right feeling, you're giving your emotions veto power over your destiny.
Grit demands that your will is the decision maker, no matter the emotional climate.
Exactly. And to give you, our listener, the full weight of this idea, the digital team actually produced a special segment on grit to capture the full impact, that sense of relentless determination. Let's just pause to absorb that segment now.
Grit, then listen closely. The four simple words that will change your life are these: I do it anyway. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Galatians 6, verse 9. Victory isn't found in what you feel, it's found in what you do. So, I do it anyway. When the body says no, let the spirit rise and answer yes. Then do it anyway. Moses walked a hard road through a wilderness, misunderstood, delayed, tested, faithful, he did it anyway. Esther stepped into danger for her people. If I perish, I perish. Courage spoke, fear bowed, she did it anyway. Paul endured beatings, chains, and storms. Through Christ I can. Purpose pushed him forward, he did it anyway. Ananias wrestled with fear, then obeyed. A touch, a prayer, a life transformed. Small act, huge ripple, he did it anyway. Grit begins as a choice. Say it, live it, repeat it, and I do it anyway. Tired, move. Alone, show up. Afraid, act. Rejected, advance. Let's do it anyway. Pray when it's dry. Open the word when it's heavy. Gather when it's easier to hide. Forgive when it hurts. Let's do it anyway. Share hope when my voice shakes. Fast when my hunger screams. Serve when no one sees. Give when it stretches me. Let's do it anyway. Apologize first. Have the hard talk. Plan the date. Face the numbers. Let's do it anyway. Show affection. Put my spouse first. Listen fully. Lift others. Let's do it anyway. Tackle the task. Chase the goal. Start the hard project. Walk into the room. Let's do it anyway. Speak up. Own responsibility. Support the team. Learn the skill. Let's do it anyway. Rise early. Cook tired. Clean the mess. Finish strong. Let's do it anyway. You don't build a great life by waiting for perfect moments. You build it by showing up today, tomorrow, again and again. Feelings fluctuate. Faith acts. Let's do it anyway. That's how you win the game of life. Not by comfort, by courage. Let's do it anyway. So go forth with an unshakable spirit. Every challenge is a chance to reveal your strength. When courage is required and resolve is tested, remember the power within you. Let it speak, let it lead, let's do it anyway. And when the story is told, let the final line be simple and true. I do it anyway.
That message of relentless determination, it truly anchors the entire philosophy of this memoir. And Averitt, or Chaplain David, as he's known in the system, he grounds this relentless drive in Scripture.
He does. He points us to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not."
That's the ultimate reassurance. Your sustained effort isn't wasted, but the reward is conditional on that phrase, "if we faint not."
It's a guarantee of a harvest, but only if you refuse to walk off the field. And he powerfully summarizes the entire mindset in one quote.
Which one is that?
He says, "Victory isn't found in what you feel, but in what you do. When your body says no, your spirit says, I do it anyway."
That is an existential battle fought and won daily, the spiritual will dominating the physical desire for comfort.
And he uses these great historical examples, like Moses leading a stubborn people for 40 years. 40 years of complaining, of setbacks. That's the ultimate model of persistence. It wasn't about enthusiasm.
It was about the strength to do it anyway.
Because God commanded it.
Huh.
And Aubert doesn't just stop at the philosophy. He provides this comprehensive, practical breakdown of "I do it anyway" applications. Let's dive into some of these categories.
The first one is foundational, general endurance. This is the mindset applied to just the basic friction of life. When you're tired, when you're scared, afraid of failure, dreading rejection, the answer has to be, "I do it anyway."
What's so powerful about starting there is he recategorizes those negative feelings. They aren't obstacles to avoid. They're indicators that you're in a situation where growth is possible.
That's a huge shift. If every great achievement requires overcoming fear and exhaustion, then fear and exhaustion become positive signals.
Exactly. Then we move into the non-negotiables for your spiritual life. This is where grit becomes spiritual armor, because the enemy targets a man's faith precisely when he's least motivated.
These are the defenses against apathy.
Right. Averitt insists these are the core disciplines that have to be maintained even when they feel dry or empty. I don't feel God's presence when I'm praying, but I do it anyway. The Bible feels like a chore, but I do it anyway. Church is inconvenient, but I do it anyway.
It's commitment over experience.
And it extends beyond just devotion to outward action and service, which are often the hardest "I do it anyway" moments. Forgiving someone who wronged you, even when the hurt is real, that's the heaviest spiritual lifting.
It also includes sharing your faith, fasting, giving tithes and offerings, all things that require a sacrificial will.
The third category addresses the heavy lifting for your relationships. Averitt acknowledges that the home is where passivity often creeps in and leads to this slow decay. Relational health isn't passive harmony.
No, it's active, consistent maintenance. And this list is so practical, and it really confronts the ego. The first one is the hardest. I don't feel like apologizing first, but I do it anyway.
That's the ultimate test of grit in a marriage. It requires admitting fault, setting aside the need to be right, and prioritizing the relationship over your own pride.
And beyond apologies, the list includes that proactive maintenance we so often sacrifice to exhaustion. Having date night, talking about finances, showing affection when you don't feel it.
Truly listening to their day instead of just waiting for your turn to talk. These are the small, consistent actions that build relational equity.
The fourth category is your working goals. Production, the professional life, career advancement, personal goals, they all demand the same commitment to action over emotion.
It's about combating procrastination and inertia. I don't feel like starting this difficult project, but I do it anyway. I don't feel like working on my long-term goals, but I do it anyway. It's military discipline applied to daily production.
Conquering that internal resistance that just whispers, later.
And that includes things that require vulnerability. Speaking up in a meeting, networking, taking on a new responsibility. Grit compels you to step into that vulnerability.
Finally, he hits the small victories for your daily routine. These might seem minor, waking up early, cooking dinner after a long day, cleaning up a big mess, but that's where the discipline muscle is forged.
Winning those small battles proves to your spirit moment by moment that you are in command, not your comfort or your exhaustion.
The overarching takeaway from this whole section on grit is that you can't wait for inspiration to build your life. You have to show up every single day, no matter the internal resistance, and execute the plan.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Averitt concludes this section with a definitive statement that just perfectly encapsulates the philosophy. Your greatest strength is found not in your comfort, but in your courage to take the next step. I do it anyway.
That motto really is the fuel for the entire project.
So with that engine grid established, we move into part two of the memoir, The Process. This section outlines six necessary phases for a complete structural rebuild of a man's life.
And phase one is broken ground. We touched on this earlier, but here we get into the process itself. It's not about guilt, it's about preparation. The old, hardened earth of the heart must be disturbed.
And he uses that analogy. You can't build a skyscraper on the foundation of an old shack. The breaking is necessary preparation, not punishment.
He offers three concrete steps. First, stop patching the cracks. This means radical honesty, admitting weakness, and removing the superficial attempts to cover up deep-seated issues.
Second, invite the heavy machinery. This is the prayer of surrender. It's asking God to actively break up that fallow ground, accepting that it might be painful, but it's essential.
And third, clear the debris. You have to identify and proactively haul away the old habits, the clutter, the trash that are preventing new growth. It's all anchored in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3. Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns.
For the population served by CA Jail Outreach, this phase is so relevant. When you get a second chance, you first have to deal with the fallow ground of your past. And Averitt reframes that painful introspection with grace.
What's the quote?
He says, "The cracks in your life are not signs of failure. They are the open veins where the grace of God can finally pour in."
Wow. So vulnerability is the entry point for divine support.
Exactly. Which moves us to phase two, groundwork. After the earth is broken, you have to dig deep to lay the foundation. This phase requires daily discipline, digging through layers of pride until you hit bedrock.
The steps are focused on depth and integrity. First, embrace the invisible work. This is integrity in action, doing the right thing when no one is watching.
Because the work done in the dark, the work of the soul, that determines who you really are when the spotlight hits. Second, remove the rocks. As you dig, you hit obstacles. These are the emotional boulders, anger, lust, bitterness. You can't pour a foundation over them.
You have to remove them entirely.
You do. And third, hit the bedrock. The digging doesn't stop until you hit the solid, unmovable word of God. You can't base your foundation on shifting trends. Luke chapter 6, verse 48 describes the man who dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock.
And Averitt has that great metaphor. You cannot reach the heights of heaven if you are afraid to dig in the dirt of the earth.
Spiritual progress is linked to that humble labor. Phase three is the slow build. This is where he addresses the modern addiction to instant results. He argues a life built quickly falls quickly. Character, like concrete, needs time to cure.
So the pacing has to be intentional. First, reject the shortcut. Shortcuts are often framed as efficiency, but in character development, they're the enemy of quality.
Second, trust the curing process. When progress stalls, it's not that God is absent. He's hardening your character. Patience isn't passive waiting. It's actively working while you wait.
And third, lay one brick daily, that micro-discipline. Don't try to build the whole thing today. Just focus on one perfect act of discipline, prayer, or kindness. Small, consistent perfection. James chapter 1, verse 4 supports this. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
And Mr. Averitt summarizes this shift in pace. The world rushes to finish. The master builder takes time to perfect.
Phase four is the reconstruction. This is a powerful distinction. He says we have to stop talking about renovation, just painting over rot, and commit to a total rebuild.
Tearing out the guts, putting in new steel, shifting from a self-focused mindset to a kingdom mindset. The steps are uncompromising. First, tear out the rot. Cynicism, laziness, apathy. Be ruthless in cutting them out.
Second, upgrade your materials. Stop building with temporary stuff wood, hay, stubble. Start building with gold, silver, precious stones. Scripture, wisdom, sacrificial service. It's about the permanence of your inputs.
And third, reinforce the weak points. Identify your most likely points of failure, your temper, your eyes, your pride, and intentionally double the support beams in those areas. This is why 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 is so powerful. It promises the power for this. If any man be in Christ, he is the new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
That's the ultimate goal, rebuilding after any kind of failure.
And Chaplain David stresses, God does not catch up the old life. He creates a new foundation for a new structure.
Phase five is where men are made. This shifts from the structure to the individual, moving past the biological fact of being male to the spiritual achievement of true manhood. This is where you stop blaming others.
The responsibility here is absolute. First, own your territory. If it's in your sphere of influence, your mind, home, work, it's your responsibility. The moment you stop blaming others, you gain the power to change things.
Second, stand in the gap. When trouble comes to the family, the leader doesn't hide. He steps out front and takes the hit.
And third, pick up the heavy tools. Averitt identifies prayer, discipline, and sacrifice as the heavy tools weak men avoid. Strong men use them daily. This phase aligns perfectly with 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Quit you like men, be strong.
And the power of this phase is synthesized into that core concept. Manhood is not a biological accident, it is a spiritual achievement.
It requires intentional action. Finally, phase 6 is the foreman's log. This is the crucial daily discipline. In daily.
You can't lead your family if God isn't leading you.
Right. And he provides 3 daily disciplines. First, the morning report. Before your phone, before the chaos, you report to God and ask, what are we building today?
That sets the tone. Second, follow the specs. When the Bible gives an instruction, it's non-negotiable. Don't argue with the blueprints, just lay the brick as directed.
And third, end of day inspection. Every night, honestly ask, did I build according to the code today? If you failed, confess it, fix it, start again tomorrow. It prevents small deviations from becoming structural catastrophes. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 reminds us, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's building.
The humility in this final phase is paramount.
It is, as the author notes. I am not the architect of my life. I am just the laborer following the plans.
The builder's greatness is in his fidelity to the design, not his originality. Which brings us into part 3, architect time. If the last sections were about philosophy and process, this is pure, actionable, daily rhythm.
The 5 specific disciplines Averitt insists you must integrate. Discipline number 1, the temple of strength. The objective is to reject physical passivity and build a body capable of serving. The anchor is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20.
And the challenge is so specific. 30 minutes of physical activity every morning before you check your phone. That's a game changer right there.
Because the phone consumes the best energy of the day. You win the physical battle before the mental one begins. He also says to complete 1 hard thing physically each week.
And Mr. Averitt links physical health to spiritual capacity, quoting, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. It's not about vanity.
No, it's about readiness for service. Discipline number 2, the anchor of the soul. Deepen your spiritual root system for stability. The promise is from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31.
The challenge is structured intentionality. First 15 minutes of the day in the KJV Bible, no distractions. And he adds, the watch, setting an alarm during the day to stop and pray the Lord's Prayer.
Which interrupts the day's chaos with intentional surrender. The CEO's quote captures it. He who kneels before God can stand before anyone. Submission provides strength.
Discipline number 3, the architect's hands. This is a fundamental shift from consumer to producer. Psalm 90, verse 17 seeks to establish the work of our hands. We have to create something tangible.
The challenge forces production. Dedicate 20 minutes a day to a specific build project. Fix the appliance, write the chapter, build the shelf. The dedication is to a tangible result.
Mr. Averitt puts this in the context of legacy. The greatest use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast it.
Discipline number 4, the clear vision, spiritual purification, removing the beams of lust and distraction that cloud judgment. It echoes Matthew chapter 6, verse 22.
And the challenge requires intense, uncomfortable self-examination, the eye audit. At day's end, review what you let your eyes see. Did it feed purity or corruption?
And he suggests fasting from media and screens for 24 hours to clean out the mind. David Averitt provides the promise. A pure heart creates a clear vision, and a clear vision sets a straight path. Purity is prerequisite to purpose.
Discipline number 5, the captain's map, intentional leadership. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26 says, ponder the path of thy feet.
And the challenge is strict. Daily planning, every night. Write down the top 3 priorities for the next day, and even more structurally, create a quarterly battle plan. Schedule the next 3 months of critical activities, date nights, trips with kids, service, rest. If it isn't scheduled, it won't happen.
As the boss notes, a goal without a plan is just a wish, but a plan with prayer is a mission. The intentionality has to be visible on the calendar.
And these 5 disciplines all culminate in the cornerstone, which is the practical expression of spiritual leadership in the home. It's a 7-day drill.
It focuses on 7 core family responsibilities, each tied to scripture. Day 1 is the decision, leading the house to serve God. Day 2, the husband, sacrificial love. Day 3, the honor, honoring the wife.
Day 4, the teacher for the children. Day 5, the tone, leading without bitterness. Day 6, the provider. And day 7, the blessing, the result of a man who fears the Lord.
And the key to this drill is immediate application. After reading the daily command, you have to write down one tangible way you'll act on that verse today.
It ensures the teachings are immediately integrated into the most crucial environment, the home.
And the final powerful quote summarizing the entire foundation is this: a man who stands on the word of God will never crumble under the weight of the world. That's the assurance of the Master Builder's design.
We've taken a really exhaustive deep dive into this memoir, and the analysis reveals that the core challenge for any man seeking change really boils down to the same principle.
Intentional construction requires grit, that spiritual engine that refuses to quit when feelings fade, and unwavering adherence to the Master Builder's blueprints through rigorous daily disciplines.
This memoir, driven by the heart of Mr. Averitt, provides a clear pathway to stability. We want to thank CA Jail Outreach for hosting this deep dive and for their constant dedication to sharing hope and truth.
We're reminded again of the vital, often unseen work they do with inmates, their families, and the children who are struggling for a second chance and a stable foundation.
If you are ready to begin your own construction journey, if you need mentorship, powerful prayer support, or you're just searching for renewed hope, we really encourage you to explore the organization's work.
You can connect directly with the team. Just use the link provided in the description. You'll see it highlighted in blue. To get the full memoir and learn more about their mission, look for the Grow, Listen, Watch tab on the menu bar. They're there to help you start the build.
And the final provocative thought we want to leave you with, straight from Chaplain David, is this: the most challenging phase of construction isn't tearing down the old structure. It's consistently laying that one perfect brick every single day, even when you believe no one is watching.
That discipline is your true foundation. We thank the CEO and founder David for sharing his heart and his deeply practical, hard-earned wisdom through this transformative memoir.
It is truly wisdom built to last.
Until the trumpet blows, wishing you a fantastic day.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Men of the Foundation presents The Field Manual for Manhood, the Growth Journey Podcast. We hope today's conversation inspired you to rise up, stand firm, and keep moving forward toward true manhood for yourself and those who count on you. Until next time, pursue growth, stay strong in your faith, and remember, you're never walking this path alone. If this message blessed you, visit our website to read the full field manual for more on these scriptures and the weekly inspection. Sign up for our newsletter for a chance to win a free Amazon paperback or Kindle edition. Our thank you for joining us. Every purchase from our store blesses our volunteer staff with gift cards, supporting those who selflessly serve people in need. Your support truly makes a difference. Remember the words of Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 16. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. A note about our CEO and founder, David Averitt. As a combat veteran facing medical challenges, he uses assistive technology to share these encouraging messages. His heart for God's word and helping others is at the core of this memoir and podcast. Our CEO often says, helping is ordinary, adding ice makes it extraordinary. There are leaders and leaders who serve, but the best always remember to add ice. Until next time, keep your head up and your heart open. This is the Growth Journey Podcast, signing off.